Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed and thankful that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us this morning. As we open this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and bow your heads and your hearts as we open up with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious God, we bow before you. We give you many thanks for another year, for another day to praise you, to honor you, to glorify you, to worship you as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior, as the one who redeemed us and blessed us with your righteousness. So, Father, we thank you for so much today, for allowing us to gather here unhindered, uninterrupted, and without fear of reprisal. We just thank you, Lord, for all these things. We offer you this time of praise and worship, this worship service, and we ask that you would take it and use it and glorify yourself through it, and may you change us all because of it. And may you find us faithful and obedient, following you. We commit this service into your care. We bless you and we honor you. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. No matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of trial we face, we just need to remember that the Lord is with us. So let's turn to our neighbor with his mighty power and let's say, the Lord is with you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing you to be our anchor that we can hold on to, Lord, that you can give us victory, your mighty, wonderful, awesome power, Father, as you lead us through this life. Let's look forward to that day, that one day when we get to see you. Let us know we have victory over everything if we just have faith and put you first, Lord, because one day we will fly away and we'll get to see you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen.
Some glad morning,
this life is over, I'll fly away to my home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, bars have flown, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then never end, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory, and I'll fly away. Lord, as we bow our heads, Lord, we are so thankful that we do have the opportunity to fly away, Father. Fly away and leave this world behind, Lord. But until then, let us remember that we have victory, for you are a great and awesome God. You can see us through anything, no matter what trials we're facing, no matter what we're going through, you are there. As a pastor once said to me, Lord, that you're always on the throne, and we thank you for that. So no matter what you're going through, we can always remember you're still on the throne. We thank you for that. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's hard for me to speak right now because you are a great and awesome God. We thank you for everything you've done, Lord, and what you are going to do in our lives, Father. We thank you for being there for us and seeing us through. Even when we feel like sometimes we're alone, we need to remember that we are never, ever alone, that you're with us, and you give us victory over everything. Lord, we thank you for that, and we ask that you continue to bless each and every one of us that are here and those that are not here, the pastor and the church, allow it to grow. Lord, allow the people that are lost to come find you and know you as we know you. We thank you for all that, and in your wonderful name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Truly how great God is. Amen.
Amen.
Before we continue this time of worship here this morning, I just want to highlight a couple of brief announcements. On the back of your bulletin, you will notice two things here. If you are interested in giving back and supporting some of the ministries, and you might just not know exactly how you can do that, well, one practical way that you can be involved and support the ministries is by signing up for Kroger Community Rewards. And what Kroger Community Rewards does is when you go and you shop and you give them your rewards card, then they contribute a certain amount of monies to our benevolence fund here at Trinity. And our benevolence fund goes to help those who are in need within our congregation and with those who are in the community with their needs, such as for food, rent, utility bills, things like that. And so, friends, that's a neat way that as we do our regular shopping, we can all give back. And so, in the next announcement, and I'm going to ask Ray to come forward. He has an announcement for us. As he's coming forward, just make note that next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, we will be taking down the Christmas decorations. And so if you are able, please make a note and please plan on staying after the worship service to be a part of taking down the Christmas decorations next week. Ray, would you?
So as you all know, today is the day that Trinity United Methodist steps out together as a family in ministry to glorify our Lord by going out to Mosaic or Western Avenue in Toledo to serve a meal for the homeless. First of all, I wanted to thank everybody for their generous contributions, that all of the needs for the meal has been met as far as all the ingredients, and thank you. God bless you all for your generous support. We have a couple of people that are planning on attending, and there's still availability for anybody who may feel the calling to want to step out in ministry work. We're meeting basically today at the kitchen area here about 3:15. We'll be praying, and we should be leaving at about 3:30. So anybody who'd like to join us, you're definitely welcome. The more, the merrier. It is a wonderful experience that I know that you will take a lot from and contribute a lot to when you're going out to serve the Lord in this capacity. So again, anybody who would like to join us, meet us here today in the church kitchen at about 3:30. Other than that, I ask that everybody keep us in your prayers. Pray for those that will be attending the meals. Pray for the pastor that's giving the service after the meal. Pray for the servants. Pray the Lord will be glorified and that this will be truly a warm ministry that our Lord intends us to serve. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. And if you're not familiar with Mosaic Ministries, it's a shelter in Toledo, and where individuals that are homeless or in need can come out and they can get a hot meal, or they can get other clothing items and food and things like that. And it's one way that we at Trinity have been doing for many years, going up there, preparing a meal, and serving, those who are in need. And so if you're interested in being a part of that wonderful ministry today, see Ray after the service, and he can get you plugged in as well. One last announcement, just to keep and circle on your calendar, January the 27th to February the 27th, we would like everyone, we're doing a fundraiser for the Vacation Bible School ministry here. And so I know I personally clean out my closets every spring, from things, clothing and different things like that. Typically, I take them to the Goodwill. Well, this is a neat way because we are involved with Easter Seals. And if you have things that you would normally donate, just bring them out to the bin out in the parking lot, and we will be getting a check from Easter Seals per the pound. And you don't have to go through anything. It can be any linens, any towels, anything like that that you would normally donate or give away. And they sift through it, and then they are contracted with like carpet manufacturers, and they will sell those unusable items to them to make like carpet padding and other refurbished
items that they can use. So mark that on your calendar. I'm sure that as the weeks click by, you will be hearing more and more about that. I'm going to ask Greg to come forward here once again.
Yes. So.
Can you hear me? Oh, now you can. Okay. Alrighty. In your bulletin, you have a welcome card. You know, we've done this the last couple weeks. We've had quite a bit of returns on the welcome card, and we want to keep that going. So if you're a first-time visitor, returning guest, a member, whatever, and you're interested in baptism, church membership, serving, growth groups, beginning a new relationship, whether you need to know information or whatever, just write it down and hand it in. Our goal at Trinity is not just to inform you, it's also to get you involved so you can inform someone else who can get involved, who can inform someone else. So in order to do so, we need to know what you're interested in, and we need to know how we can implement you into a role at Trinity. So if you guys could fill that out, that would be awesome, and we're looking forward to seeing what kind of ideas you guys have. So.
Cool. Thank you, Greg. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. You can go with Miss Joanna, and I'm sure you will have a wonderful class here today. Let us turn our attention to the hearing of God's word this morning.
The reading from God's word today will be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. If you care to read along with us in your pew Bibles, you can find that on page 1824. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in its hearing. If the ushers will now please come forward for the tithes and offering.
Oh, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've come to your altar with our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series, and we're going to look at each piece of the armor of God found in Ephesians chapter 6 that was just read a couple moments ago. And one of the reasons that I feel it's very essential that we break this armor of God down each week is this, is that sometimes I feel that in Christianity, in our Christian lives, we think that we don't have to do anything. We either err on one side or the other, and it's either that we feel that we can be passive and not fighting to beat back the darkness and to bring in the light of Christ into this fallen world, or we feel that we have to do everything. And friends, neither one of those are correct, neither one of those are true. About a week and a half ago, I found myself sitting eating breakfast with a friend of mine. It was early in the morning, and we began to discuss the conversation about faith. And one of the questions that it's always perplexed me is when you come across an individual who for their entire life, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, they've been a believer, they've been out there serving God, witnessing for Jesus, and then at the end of their life, they begin to question if they're a Christian. Now, you may not come across people, but I do on a regular basis. And so I brought up to my friend, who and he and I were sitting there eating breakfast, and I said, I just don't understand that. I don't get that. And his response was uncanny. He himself was in his 70s, and he began to explain it to me this way. He said, you know, our culture, our society, America, is so goal-oriented and results-driven that when all of that is stripped away and we feel like we have nothing to offer back to God, we began to question whether or not we really belong to God. Friends, that made all the world sense to me. You know, when he said that, and it began to really allow me to ponder the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we saw that our vision, it will secure our victory. And this week we're going to see our value will secure our victory. Our vision will always drive our victory in Jesus. What we're looking at, who we're focusing upon, and what we're filling our lives with. If we're filling our lives with things of this world, then we're looking at the wrong thing. We need to focus and place our vision upon Jesus, upon His Word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, minds, and souls. This week, we need to focus on our beliefs, and we need to understand our value. Our value will always secure our victory. You see, if we have a proper belief in who we are in Jesus Christ and who He has created us to be, then we will have a proper assessment of our value to God. And our value to God will always secure our victory. And when we do that and we have that proper belief, then, my friends, we will not question. We will not get consumed with, I wonder if I'm a believer or not. Now, I'm not standing here saying it's wrong to doubt or to question. In fact, I would encourage you to doubt and question just as long as you do not oppose God. And if you are turning to the right sources, then question all day long, because questioning is a source of seeking answers and seeking intelligent understanding of what God wants for you. That's not what I'm saying. So don't hear that doubting and questioning is wrong. But where we turn to for the answers, that can be very wrong. And we need to understand that the breastplate of righteousness is viewing ourselves through the eyes of God and allowing ourselves to have the value that God has placed upon us. Now, in order to do that, there's three things that I want to go over with you here. The first thing that we need to ascribe to or adhere to is the belief in God's power. And in Ephesians 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, many of us, we struggle and we say, you know what, I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't have the ability to do this. Well, it's our wrong understanding of what power is here. Power in this text actually means God's dominion. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that transferred you and me from darkness into light. It's the same power that brought life to the deadness of this world. It's the same power that created you and I to be God's family. It's that power. But that power only exists in God's dominion. That's why we say that we live in God's kingdom. We live in this world, on this earth, in the kingdom of God, because we have been adopted into the family of God. We have been made His sons and daughters. We have been given the right to become children of God. So we have to believe in the power of God. And that power is we are in God's dominion. God is supreme. God is sovereign. God is above everything this world has to offer. And so if we turn to the politicians, we turn to those who are powerful in this world, we're turning to the wrong things and we're believing in the wrong things. You see, our vision drives us. We found that out last week. The focus that we have is where we will end up. And the focus that we have, if it's upon Jesus, we will believe in the power of God. We will believe that we are living in God's dominion, in His kingdom. If we don't believe that, then we cannot go further. You see, it starts with truth, and then it moves to righteousness. And righteousness is based upon beliefs. Because beliefs always turn into actions, and actions always turn into a lifestyle, and a lifestyle always turns into a destiny, and a destiny will always determine your eternity. So we must start here. It's not a power to pray people back from the dead. It's not a power of all of that, but it's God's power. It's what God can do and only God can do. And if you believe, my friends, that you are living in God's kingdom, then you have a great start. We have to believe that. You see, sometimes Christians, I'm fearful that we fall back and we look at every craziness that's going on in this world, the shooting in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, this past week, all of this anarchy that's taken place. And we feel very helpless. We feel like, what can we do? Well, if we are living in God's kingdom, then we can enact a change upon the sphere of influence that God has given to you and to me in this world, in our lives, each and every day. But if we don't believe that we are living in the dominion of God, in His power and in His might, then we will be victims of not moving, of not being the light of the world. And so it has to start with our belief in the power of God, and not in a strong power, but in what He has created for you and for me in His kingdom. And in His kingdom, there are things that take place that don't take place in this world. And I keep going in and out here. You know, I personally believe that there is spiritual warfare. And you see, the enemy can't change this, but what he can do is he can change what's filling our minds. And he knows that if you believe that you live in the kingdom of God, if you live in God's dominion, that you, my friends, are unstoppable. He knows he can't win the victory. He has already lost. He is already the defeated foe. But what he can do is he can get us to feel like we're defeated. And every time I have a conversation with someone who is questioning whether or not they're a believer, and they've lived the Christian life, and they've served Jesus, and they confess and they profess that Jesus is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that Jesus is their Savior, it's that the enemy has convinced them that there is no kingdom of God. The enemy has convinced them in their minds, in their hearts, and in their souls that they have nothing to offer to God. And when the enemy does that, friends, he's won. He hasn't stolen your salvation, but what he has done is he has made you and me ineffective, and he has caused you and I to not do what God has asked us to do. I don't believe this is an accident here. I believe this is so serious that the direction that we are going here in this 2017 year at Trinity United Methodist Church, I believe that one of the things is this. This is why it's essential
is that we are moving out. We are moving into the darkness. We are moving, expanding the kingdom of light, which is God's kingdom, beating back the kingdom of darkness, redeeming that which was lost, and finding that which needs salvation. And we have to understand that for whatever reason, God chooses to use you and me, his church, his family, his sons and his daughters, and that's all of us, to expand his goodness and his love into this world. We have to understand that. If we fail to understand that, then we miss the reason why we're here. And we will fall on one end of the spectrum or the other. We will fall on doing, doing, doing in our own strength, our own power, and our own ability, or we will fall into the aspect of being passive and not doing what God's asked us to do. And so we have to understand that we believe in the power of God, in his kingdom, in his dominion, in all the things that he has done. He's raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. Jesus reigns today. He intercedes for you and for me. He's constantly praying for all of us. He didn't stop there. He sent the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would reside deep within your soul and seal you for later redemption. He took you from being darkness to being light. He made you being the son that wasn't a son into becoming the son of the Most High, the eternal Lord God, or the daughter Lord God. You see, that's what it means to live in God's kingdom. You are valuable. You are special. You are unique. You were created for his good, unique pleasure. For him, you were created. And only for him. You see, our value will secure our victory. If we don't believe that we're valuable, we're not going to believe that we live in God's kingdom. We're going to believe that we achieve God's kingdom based upon what we do, and then we'll get discouraged, and then we won't do anything, and so then we'll just throw up our hands and say, forget it. I don't even know that I'm a believer. Belief in God's power believes that what God says in his word, that you have been given the right to become a child of God, is true. Belief in God's power is belief that what the scriptures attest to, that he raised Jesus from the dead, it took place, that he can redeem you and me, and he has redeemed us. The second belief that we need to grasp onto is to believe in our value to God. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now in the ancient days when the Apostle Paul was writing this, most likely, you know, chained to a Roman soldier in prison. The Roman soldier probably didn't have all of his armor on, but yet the Apostle Paul knew the imagery well. And so he begins to pen this, and he begins to say, put on the girdle of truth, put on the belt of truth, and your vision will drive your victory, but don't stop there. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate of righteousness was usually, it would go from neck all the way down to your thighs. It would be held in place by the belt of truth, and it would be held there. It was usually leather or, you know, some kind of chain mail or things like that, and they would, you know, sew bone or different things on there. It protected the internal vital organs, the heart, the liver, all of those vital organs that if they were injured could be fatal. You see, the fatalness of this, the breastplate of righteousness, the protection that it causes for you and for me and brings to all of us, if we put it on, it's essential. Your heart, your mind, your soul. To be protected from that is to believe what God wants you and me to believe. And that, my friends, is that you and I are valuable to him. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. If you've ever questioned your value to God, listen to these words. For God had made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made Jesus to become sin, yet he knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God. Friends, I'm here to tell you, I don't know if that's not value, then I don't know what is.
God made Jesus, who was righteous, perfect, and holy, to become sinful, unholy, like we were. And he took Jesus' righteousness and took it from him, and he attributed it to you and to me. That's value, friends. That is value. The value that that represents is the perfect, acceptable sacrifice, the very thing that we could never do, which would be to acceptable, live an acceptable life to God, is what Jesus did for you and for me. The value that that imputes or puts into your account is unparalleled. There's nothing that you could ever do. There's nothing that you could ever say. There's no place that you could ever go that would ever make you more valuable to God the Father. Because what he did, he took from his only son in the perfection that Jesus was and is today, and he put it into your account. We have to believe in our value to God. If you and I weren't valuable to God, he would have never done that. He would have wiped us off of the face of this earth and said, I'm starting over. Your value to God is precious. You matter to God. Many times these individuals that struggle with their value, it's because they don't have anything to offer. Their strength is failing. Their mind is fading. And their ability to serve like they've served so many years, it's not there anymore. But that doesn't make them any nonetheless valuable to God. Because, friends, he took Jesus and took his perfection and gave it to you, and took your imperfection and gave it to Jesus. That's what putting on the breastplate of righteousness means. But it doesn't stop there. To truly put on the breastplate of righteousness, it means to live a holy life. Because when we grapple with what God has done for us, then we want to glorify him in all facets of our life. We want to serve him. We want to honor him. We want to glorify him. And so we live a holy life. But we can't get caught up in doing what we do in order to be acceptable to God. We need to understand that it's only through Jesus' righteousness that we have been made acceptable. And it's in the righteousness of Christ that we are valuable. Hear that, please. Because there's going to come a day for all of us when our abilities, our minds, they're all going to be stripped away. And then it may be uncomfortable because I'm here to tell you, I am a driven person. I am a type A person, and I like to be driven. I like to accomplish things. And sometimes when we have nothing to offer, that is probably one of the most uncomfortable positions to be in. But if we understand that it's in Christ, it's in his righteousness that he has made us valuable, then our value will secure our victory. Because we will acknowledge who we are in Jesus, not because of what we do, not because of what we proclaim, not because of where we've been, not because of who we've shared the gospel with. Those are all great things. But your value, friends, is connected and secured with Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It has nothing to do with deeds of righteousness. The sad thing is many times Christians, they become like the elephants when they're trained for the circus. Let me explain. The elephants, when they're a baby, they put a big weight on their leg and they tie it to their leg. And then the elephant in their mind, they become acknowledging that I can't go anywhere because I can't pull this weight. And then ultimately they get so big that there's no weight that could really hold them there. And so then they just keep a rope tied around their leg, and in the elephant's mind, the elephant is saying, I can't move. And in all reality, they could move. Sometimes we've been so accustomed to doing things in order to subconsciously achieve a self-worth, in order to do what we think we are achieving, and that's a valuable nature to God. Or we've become accustomed to being passive, that we become like the elephant, we become, you know, confined there, and there is nothing that is stopping us except our belief in the value that we are to God. See, if you could convince that elephant that he could go, he could go. And from time to time, they do go. You know, you see these videos, elephants that gone mad, you know? I mean, I've seen a few of them where they get sick and tired of the circus and then just take off tearing down the street and turning over cars and all kinds of stuff, right? That's what they do. But on the large and the whole, they get confined and they get stuck because they don't believe that they have anything to offer. You and I, we can get stuck too if we fail to realize that our value in God is rooted and connected with Jesus the Christ, the risen Savior. And when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, it's putting in our minds a belief that Jesus took our imperfections and he gave us his perfection. And it's through him that we have been made acceptable to God. We have been made the righteousness of God. If you're wondering why I'm stopping here and just settling in on this, is because I don't want to run over it. The one crucial truth that Christians need to understand is this. You, my friends, are God's righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. Let's say that together. I am the righteousness of God. Let's say it one more time. I am the righteousness of God. That's value, friends. Your value will secure your victory. Now, this does not mean that we can go live like a hellion and do whatever we want to do. And yes, I said hellion. Some of you will get so stuck that I said that word that you won't hear the next, you know, several sentences that I say. I'm not saying that you can go live however you want to live. That's not what I'm saying. Romans 6, verse 1 says, what then? Where grace abounds, so we continue in sin? No, by no means. May it never be so. In order to grapple with the value that God has placed in your soul and upon you, we need to live a distinct and certain way. And that feeds right back to the first belief, the belief that we live in God's kingdom, in the power of his might. And when we believe that we have been made perfect in Jesus Christ, and it's not what we do, it's not what we say, it's not what we proclaim, it's who we have been made into in Jesus Christ and becoming the righteousness of God through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, it's only then and only then that we truly can be free to move forward and live a holy life. You see, there's a distinct difference. Many Christian teachers and preachers, they start from the outside and they try to work in. And they try to reform the behaviors. And that'll never work, friends, because the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth. And what you say, it becomes actions. And when you begin to work from the inside out, then it's lasting. It will always last. And to start believing in the right things. You are the righteousness of God. You are valuable to God. You don't live in the kingdom of this world. You live in God's kingdom of his might. So what are we to do? I'm going to give you three things. We need to realize our best is never, and it's not good enough for God. Listen to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. We are saved by grace through faith. We need to realize and recognize that our good is never good enough for God. We need to quit striving to be good enough for God. We need to stop it and put it down and accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. And that's the first or the second thing, is we need to receive Jesus' gift of righteousness. We could go on, please. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says this, and this ties into the first one. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Filthy garment is what we are, outside of Jesus. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, our sins, our mistakes, our flaws, our failures, like the wind, they all take us away. And is that not true? It takes us to places we don't want to go. It causes us to stay longer than what we're willing to stay. And it costs us more than what we're willing to pay, right? It does. So we need to understand and realize that our good is never good enough according to the perfection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And when we realize that, we need to receive Jesus' free gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17 says this, if because of one man's trespass, that's Adam that he's talking about in the Garden of Eden, where Adam disobeyed God's command not to eat of the tree. And so because of Adam's sin, death reigned through that one man, Adam. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' free gift of righteousness to you and to me each and every day if we will only receive it, if we will only accept it, if we will only submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can say, there's nothing I could ever achieve that will ever be good enough for you. I need your righteousness. When you do that, then, my friends, your value will secure your victory. The third thing is found in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. Now, this is for all of us who doubt and struggle and question, and all of us, okay? Because there will be days in your life when you will question. There will be days in your life when you do doubt. And so my question is, what do we do when that happens? This is what we do, friends. If we realize that our best is not good enough for God and we receive Jesus' gift of righteousness, then when we do struggle, we return to the truth. And the truth of this is this, for though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. The stronghold of disbelief. The stronghold of not believing in your value in God. The stronghold of not believing that you live in God's kingdom. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So what do you do when you start to question? You return to the truth. You understand that you realize that your good is not good enough. You receive God's free gift in Jesus, his righteousness. And then when you struggle, you return to the truth. Now, you can do this many different ways. You can bow your head and you can pray. But if you've been like me, and there's some times in my life that I needed somebody else to come alongside me to point me back to the truth. This is the very reason why we should not forsake the gathering of believers. We should not forsake worshiping together, because sometimes we will need a brother or sister to point us back to Jesus, to point us back to his word. There are other times when we doubt and struggle and question that we can go to God's word. You can pray. You can look to other believers. You can read his holy word. But if you return to the truth, what happens is this. God's power is in the truth. The enemy's power is in the lie, and he wants to feed you that lie. And a lie goes like this. You have nothing to offer. You're not valuable to God. There's no use for you. You're hopeless. And on and on and on and on. The truth of the matter is this, friends. You matter to God. You are extremely valuable to God. So valuable that he gave his only son for you, that he would lay down his life and he would redeem you and make you the holy of holies. He would make you the eternal blessed ones of eternity. You know you are God's gift to Jesus? You are valuable. When we recognize that, when we believe that, our value will always secure our victory. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace and your truth and your assurance. We thank you for blessing us all with your Son, Jesus' righteousness. We thank you for Jesus who became sin on our behalf that we might become your righteousness. Father, help us in our struggle. Help us in our battle. Help us in this war that we fight each day. The war that goes like this, that you're no good. But the truth is that we are good in you and only in you. May we ascribe to these beliefs. May we truly find victory. And Father, may you get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We bless you and we thank you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. as we close in this closing song, I just want to open up the altars, and I'm going to ask Luke and Lauren to come forward. They've asked for prayer, and we would love to anoint anyone who is struggling here today. As we close with this closing song, won't you come? And there's a team, Charlene and Val and any others, Pat, if you would want to come, any others that would like to come forward and be anointed with oil today. Let us sing and close. As we close here this morning, I hope and I pray that you recognize your value to God, that you, my friends, are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
May you go in the peace and the hope and the joy and the truth of the belief of who God has made you to be, and that is his righteousness. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.